This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 231 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 20th, 2016, the 420 edition of the show. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch, where it's legal to buy pie. You can have it delivered faster than pizza, and most times they're in California, right?
In most cases, yes. You could actually order a pizza and weed at the same time and have them race to your house.
So, I'd like to see some stats. Do you think the sales numbers jump up dramatically at Taco Bell on this day every year?
Oh, yeah. This is black. This is Green Friday for everybody in the business.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So to everybody out there, please celebrate today responsibly and verbally, legally. No, if you can help it. So had a great episode last week. Now, usually, we don't like to start the show off on a somber note, but we've dealt with some loss in the WordPress community last year and the year before, and Marcus and I just wanted to pass on our deepest sympathies and condolences to the Mulawake family. I found out the obituary was published today in the Houston Chronicle website, in case anybody wants to check it out, but Matt Mulawake's father passed away a few days ago, so we just wanted to pass on our condolences to him, our thoughts and prayers with him and his family.
Absolutely.
And I know that I've met Matt's sister before, and she's a wonderful woman. And I think I've met Matt Mulawake's mother, but I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever met his father. But if you read the obituary, you could see all the things that he was interested in. And I think it's clear that he's definitely had a positive impact and some influence into the direction that Matt took, especially when it comes to technology and Matt's interest in jazz and blues music, which seems to be descended from his father. So we just wanted to pass that along. Yes. And with that said, so we had Mike Schroeder on last week, and now we're going to have his coworker on this week, and her name is Mika Epstein, better known as Ipstenu or the Half-Elf Rogue. And she works for DreamHost as well as Mike, and she specializes as the WordPress guru, and she helps make WordPress hosting better for everyone. And when she isn't reviewing plugins, she's helping in the support forums and speaking at WordCamps worldwide about code and open source technology. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about today as it pertains to plugins. And Mika, thank you very much for joining us on the show, where it's a balmy 90 degrees where you're at.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm out here in California today. They keep saying it's El Nino, but I'm waiting on the rain.
Still waiting.
Still waiting. Always waiting. I moved to the desert. What do I expect?
So when we had Mike on last week, it looked like there was sort of a contest between who's more awesome, you or Mike. And I think he said you were more awesome. So I don't know. Can you confirm or deny that before we move on?
Well, I have to say that the only reason I have my job is because of Mike, so I kind of think he's more awesome.
Oh, well said, well said. Okay, so we have a lot of stuff to get into, but the one thing I wanted to start off real quick is I've known you in the WordPress community for a number of years. I know that your name is Mika.
Yes.
But is it like a tick, or does it drive you crazy when people still call you Mike? Because even today, in the comment section on your website, somebody referred to you as Mike.
Actually, the first thing I did when I saw that was I checked, do I actually have my own name spelled with an A on that page? And yes, I do. It doesn't bother me as much as it used to. When I was in college, I had a teacher who insisted on calling me Mike, and my protest was that I basically sat there with my hand up until she figured out that that wasn't going to work with me. But when it's people online, I'm a lot more forgiving that they just sort of read M-I-K and their brain stops thinking and they've seen Mike a million times and they've only seen Mika maybe three times in their life, four more if they like to listen to his music. There's a musician called Mika. I absolutely adore his stuff. But people don't see Mika as a name written down all the time. So I'm used to the fact that they're going to get it wrong. And I won't correct you unless you make a point of telling me how literate you are and how well you read things. Then it's fair game.
Yeah, and I will admit, as a writer, that I have spelled your name as Mike before, and then I'll look it over and go, oh, no, that's wrong, and I will change it most of the time before I hit the publish button, because I do not want to join that crowd that calls you Mike in public. Yeah, there's too many of those.
I just ping you privately. My mother's messed that up, actually, thanks to autocorrect, so I'm kind of really used to it now.
So let's start off from the beginning. Let's tell our audience how you got involved in this thing called WordPress. Were you always interested in technology, or did you just sort of stumble into it?
I was interested in technology because I wanted to have French toast on a Saturday morning. And my grandmother, this is true, my grandmother Taffy, who born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
All right.
Yes. She had her own business called Taffy's. She sold danceware. And they had a computer system that my father had built out. This was back when you had to go to a bank and get a loan to get an IBM server. So this is a long time ago. And she had the computer, and from her home, she could dial into the server and update the stock notifications of what they had in stock, what they were ordering. And one Saturday morning, I was at Grandma's, and I wanted French toast, and she had to enter data. And she couldn't get the computer to work. And I said, well, if I can do it, will you make breakfast? Because I wasn't tall enough to reach the stove. I was about 5 years old. And I sat down, figured out how to use a Novatel modem, dialed in on a rotary phone, put it on a little cradle, and did all the computer work for my grandmother that morning. After that, it just all went downhill, and I've been playing with computers ever since.
You did this at 5 years old.
I did.
Wow.
My father loves telling the story if you get him drunk enough.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. I mean, usually we hear about, you know, young children, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old picking up on technology, but 5, I don't know, I find that to be impressive.
Nobody in my family said it was weird, so I thought it was normal for the longest time that everybody who had computers around them just naturally played with them. But I come from a long line of very curious and inquisitive people. So we're used to taking things apart to figure out why they tick, and for me, the computer was just a natural extension of, well, why can't I do these things? So I'll figure out how to, which is how come I ended up doing WordPress, was that I was tired of making a website by hand, and I looked up this thing. I'm going to date myself now. I said, I looked up this thing called B2, and it was kind of janky, and I didn't like it very much, so I used Movable Type for a very long time until they changed their license structure, and then I went back to WordPress, and I never looked back.
Wow, so you were using B2 and Immovable Type, and you were actually there. You were a first-hand account witness to the license change of Movable Type, which, in my opinion, if you look at the history of WordPress,
oh yeah,
was a
that
huge pivotal moment for the project.
I think had that not happened, I think two things happened that made WordPress set where it is today, and one of them is definitely Movable Type just messing up completely with that license issue, but the other one definitely has to be how hard Google made it to use Blogger for the longest time. You couldn't leave a comment without going through 6 different pages, and this was back in late 1990s, early 2000s, it just took so many steps to get into a blog to leave a comment that people weren't using it as a community like they wanted it to. And WordPress, on the other hand, turned around and Matt said, well, we're never going to use B2. And people used to use short codes in forums. So like you'd do the square bracket U for underline instead of using HTML. And Matt said that he was always going to use HTML. I remember that was actually a selling point to me. I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to learn something new. I know HTML. I can keep using it.
Yeah, short codes for doing stuff like that is reinventing the wheel when the original wheel was fine to begin with.
Exactly. HTML has a lot of problems, but basic comments, basic HTML, bold, italic, underline, that hasn't changed in a very long time for a reason. It works, and it's easy enough to remember.
Now, I was just thinking about this the other day where, you know, and we're talking about the early days of WordPress and Blogger, and I remember it vividly where people, the whole blog thing, the having a blog was like a phenomenon where people could finally get on there and they could say whatever it is they wanted to say and they could generate a following. And then the cool thing about sites like WordPress.com is you could generate a network so people could follow you and you could have your friends, you could comment on their site and comment on your site. And then know, you look at self-installed WordPress websites, and a lot of people were taking advantage of, there used to be a time where pingbacks and trackbacks were useful. Most of the time, they weren't spam. Somebody was actually linking to you, and it helped because it was linking conversations and stuff of that nature, and it just it feels totally different today than it did back then, where there's just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like that camaraderie or that network effect that it was in the early days of WordPress's life cycle.
Yeah, you used to be able to get a ping back and you'd run to see who it was and then you'd go leave their site. And so there's this person who was interested in what I had to say, but yeah, they're mostly spam now, and that's sad. Pingbacks was this great idea. But now that we have social media, because you didn't have that when WordPress started. I mean, there was no Twitter. Facebook, you really only used if you were in college. There certainly wasn't Google Plus, because that's working so well for them. You didn't have those things to be able to reach out and have a conversation like we do on Slack. You had IRC, sure, and you had alt news channels. My gosh, I'm really showing off how old I am now.
AOL, Instant Messenger, ICQ, Yahoo Messenger.
Usenet.
But you had to know where those groups were in order to be a part of them. And finding them before Google was not easy.
No, you had to go learn different applications altogether, like Agent when you were doing Usenet stuff.
Oh, and ICQ was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh! So that's cool. Let's fast forward to today.
Okay.
And one of your main responsibilities amongst the many that you have is being a what I like to call the gatekeeper for the WordPress plugin directory, and that is you review a plugin's code before it's approved for everybody else to use and download and install and activate on their sites on the WordPress plugin directory. Can you give us some background info into how you ended up in that position and what it is you do, sort of a description of that role?
Many, many years ago, I found a plugin that had a flaw in it, and I happened to know Otto, so I asked him, what should I do? And he said, send an email to this address, and we will take care of it. And then I said, well, how do you scan for all the plugins that might have this problem? And he introduced me to Mark Jaquith's Directory Slurper, so I downloaded that. It took a weekend on my very slow internet, and I learned how to use ACK and grep and find all these things. And basically, I kept emailing Otto, I think, maybe four or five times a day. I was really bored at work. And this is a horrible thing. I had a job at a bank, and I was so bored most of the time because it would take literally 45 minutes to an hour and a half to compile the code that I was using, and I had to recompile it three or four times a day. I got so bored. I couldn't do anything, and I had to just sit there because they didn't want me to work on other projects. They wanted you to do one project at a time, finish it, roll it out, off you go. So I asked if I could do independent learning while I was watching my code compile, and you can definitely read that as she spent her time downloading plugins to figure out how they worked. But I kept emailing him, and he finally said, you know what, this is silly. Why don't you come help us? And this was back when there were very few people on the team. It was Otto, Mark, and myself. And at first, all I did was watch what they did. I think it was maybe 2 months where I just kind of went behind them, and I would download things, and I'd say, okay, I think this plugin is okay, and this one needs help. I would go through and clean out the queue, say, well, it's been more than 7 days. This guy hasn't replied. We're just going to close it, and he can come back. And then it just grew that I got better and better at understanding what plugins were doing, which ones were okay. I got a feel for how different people write code. I learned that just like when you write an article or a book, you have a way of presenting yourself in the written word. You have a way of presenting yourself in the coding world as well. And so everyone has their own styles. And I started to pick up on how different people use different styles. And I just got really good at finding what was weird in a plugin. And over time, I started codifying and writing down everything that I knew because I always work under the impression that tomorrow I will be hit by a bus and everything that is me will be lost forever unless I've written it down somewhere. And then it's a longstanding fear that I don't want to be forgotten, so I write things down. See, this is why I write.
Stay away from buses.
Well, I ride my bike. So it's a little difficult that I leave the office at the same time the bus comes by, and so I'm constantly riding the bus up and down hills in downtown Fullerton and Brea. and I did that today, actually. The bus was very annoyed with me that I was in front of him on a road where he couldn't pass me. But I kept doing this with the plugins and reviewing them. And after the community summit last year, I took over as the lead, as it were. So the point person, I guess. So now I get to be in charge of all the various things and spearhead, making sure that everyone does their job and nagging people to please help us review and assign tasks to people, which is always fun.
Yeah, and if I understand the history of the people behind the scenes that were reviewing plugins, I think there was a gentleman named Mark. I don't know if it was Mark K, but if I remember correctly, I think he was just burnt out. I think a few times he would request for help, and it just seems like, you know, there were so many plugins, and there was just, it seemed like one person was behind the scenes.
There was, and he had
reviewing them.
Yeah,
and it just, wow. And then you step in, and Pippin, in addition to you, there's Pippin Williamson, and then every now and then there's Otto and some other people that step in and help also. But for the most part, it's just you and Pippin handling all the plugins submitted to the directory, is it not?
That is, for the most part, yeah. We do the brunt of the reviews. We have Aaron Campbell also helps us out. He doesn't do approvals yet because, to put it mildly, the system that we use for it is really terrible. Thank goodness it's being rewritten, and we're actually in the process of making sure that the new workflow is going to work. But as it stands, since only one person can be in that queue actively reviewing and approving at one point in time, unless you want a lot of race conditions where two people review a plugin and one person approves it and one person rejects it, which happened once, it's really messy to add more people in. So most of what we do is Pippin and I do the reviews, and we ping each other to make sure nobody's in the queue. And the rest of the team goes through the emails and helps us with reviews. Sometimes I'll escalate things and say, hey, can someone else spot check me on this? As soon as we get that fixed, though, boy, everything's going to change.
So in the plugin review process, what are you looking for? What are you reviewing?
Reviewing not the quality of the project itself. I do a thing that I call divorcing myself from my... When I download your plugin, I make absolutely no judgment calls as to what the plugin does. I look at it as, this serves a niche for someone, it has a purpose for someone, okay. And I have to do that, because a lot of times, if I look at a plugin subjectively, I think this is the stupidest idea I've ever seen. The only time you've ever seen me make a judgment call about that was when I finally last year said, okay, look, if you're submitting a snow plugin and it's not different code-wise than any of the other ones we've got, you got to stop. Because we were getting 30 to 40 snow plugins a day at one point, and that was just and they weren't different from the ones we had. And I'm all for diversity of code, but this is actually not that. Also, I think that the snow plugins are a terrible idea in general, because for accessibility, for one, but for another, they're really frustrating to me to look at. But
what about a snow plugin where snowflakes are replaced by Wapoo? So you get different Wapoo animals falling from the sky on your website.
I think it's fun to do for one day out of the year if you're going to do it for April Fools, perhaps. I'm a huge proponent on, I think that fun plugins are fun to write. I have a plugin called Rickroll, for goodness sake. Literally, all it does is change all your videos to Rickroll. No, seriously, that's all it does.
So, okay, so obviously there are some crazy obscure ones out there.
Yeah.
And I know that just from my own, you know, window shopping every single morning in terms of looking at what new things have come about in the repository, I know that there are between, you know, on good days, 50, sometimes as high as 70 plugins that come out.
Yeah.
What's the other side of that funnel look like as far as how many get submitted?
35 plugins on average are submitted a day.
Yeah.
I actually did the math fairly recently on that because I was neurotic and wanted to know how much of my time I was spending. So 35 a day. Of the 35, 30 plugins will be reviewed but not all approved. And I lowball this because some days we manage to get through reviewing 100 plugins. And of those 100, we can approve maybe half of them right away. about 10 plugins out of 100 are going to get rejected because the name is unacceptable. You put dash plugin at the end of your plugin, for example, or you're using somebody else's trademark term. Like, you are not Facebook. I'm sorry. You can't have that name.
I can't?
No.
I've tried.
I know. And it's very weird because every time I try to actually get a concrete number, I'll have a week where I don't reject any plugins. And it's very strange when that happens. It's usually Christmas and Easter are the weeks that are very low submissions and very few mistakes in submissions. And I don't know what that means.
Are there a flood that come around the first of the year? People that just get motivated to make a plugin and
President's Day.
President's Day.
President's Day weekend is the first long weekend, basically, that everybody has. And Martin Luther King Day, not really a big day for plugin submissions.
Yeah.
But President's Day, it's not really a hip, cool day. You don't really do much for it. It's not like you're going to have a barbecue. You're not going to want to go and spend it with your family. You're not going to, you know, maybe if it's Veterans Day, you're going to want to spend it with some of your family who have served. But you've got this day, President's Day, which is, yay, we're having a day for dead presidents. And I guess people get bored because we get the most submissions that weekend.
That's very interesting. I'll have to gear up for next year. It's going to be like Plug-in Friday or something.
Well, and of course, this time it had to happen right around getting ready for the release. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to make it through the weekend. But we did manage to clear out the queue just last week. It was nice to see zeros all across the board.
So let me ask this. In terms, I mean, so obviously there's some ludicrous submissions if you've got that kind of criteria. Have you ever had to reject a header graphic that's being used for a plugin?
Oh, yes, multiple times. We had someone put porn on there.
Oh, wow.
And there's no other way to say it. I took one look at it, and I said, oh, that is not okay, and I closed it. I do review the images that people submit, but they don't always submit their assets with their plugins, and we certainly don't require it. Yeah. Most of the time, that comes around with someone saying, oh, my gosh, Mika, did you see that this site, the plugin header is a woman's breasts? And I looked, and I said, you're right, and they're not wearing anything. That's not okay.
Wow, and that was just for a contact form. Wow.
We took it down, and we informed them. We said, look, we don't have an out-and-out rule that says you can't put R-rated pictures on your site, but we do have a morality and ethics clause in the guidelines, and we're invoking this on you, and please keep it PG.
Interesting. Now, I would imagine, because I've seen some that are pretty crazy. Like, I've seen one that was just like a movie clip, but it had a kind of a weird filter on it, so it got through. I think it was from Spaceballs or something like that.
In general, we're not going to push back on the legal use of images. Arguably, it can fall under fair use. We're not lawyers. If the person who owns the image comes around and says, hey, that's mine, and I don't give you permission, which has happened, we take the plugin down and we explain that you need to change this because this person has asked you to change it, and legally they have this right.
Sure.
If you happen to be closed for any other reason, though, like let's say you have a security issue, and I notice in the review that your header image is a licensed image, I will keep you closed until you fix it.
Well, speaking of security, what kinds of huge gaping holes have you seen in terms of people that submit plugins that may even just be blatant security vulnerabilities?
That's such a broad question. I think I've seen everything at this point. People don't use nonces. They don't secure their files so anybody can access them. I think my favorite of all is when people don't put a is uninstall check on the uninstall.php file. And that's a good one. One guy actually argued that it didn't matter. So I said, do you have the plugin installed on your site? And if so, may I prove to you that this is dangerous? And he said yes, so I uninstalled it. I just went to the site and visited the URL. It uninstalled the plugin. He was very upset, and I told him that's why it's bad. But I asked him first.
And he was very upset. Unbelievable.
That's code for he used language that I won't repeat in public.
Jeez.
Yeah, the security aspect is no joke. I mean, I've even shared YouTube videos with Jeff of people that hack based on certain premium themes and just different vulnerabilities where they're just downloading the WP config file at will, you know, no problem.
There are so many pieces to so many plugins. WordPress itself has security issues that crop up from time to time that they have to go through and lock down. It's impossible to get everything right, and we know this. We certainly don't hold it against you if you make a mistake. We try to catch as many as we can when we're doing that initial review, but we're human like you are. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to miss things. Our eyes are going to blur at the wrong second, and you're going to skim right over something. We try not to, but it's like I think we have a better track record than the TSA, at least.
That's for sure.
I don't think that's very hard to do, actually. But so I want to take a step back here to something that recently cropped up, and it was, you know, we're mentioning porn header images and plugins, but there's a recent plugin that was recently submitted or maybe discovered on a directory called Porn Embed.
Yeah.
And it's still there and it's active, and what it does is it allows OEmbed support for some of the porn sites, popular porn sites that are out there. And I know that it sort of came up in a controversial conversation that why is this allowed to be on a WordPress plugin directory? Should things dealing with the porn industry be allowed on here? And maybe you can shed some light into why that plugin was approved and why it's still there on the plugin directory.
It's still there because the only complaint that we ever actually officially got was one person emailed with a link to it and no question, just said porn in the repository. That was the subject line, and I replied, yes, this is a plugin that allows you to embed porn. What is your actual complaint? I'm not actually psychic, although people like to think that I am. And I'm not sure if they were arguing that it was unethical to have or if it was immoral to have. It was never explained. The email was never replied to. I still don't know. I do know exactly who asked the question, and I know the post on Advanced WordPress that was subsequently deleted about it. I didn't reply to the post, because certainly he had the ability to reply to the email if he wanted to. Why is it there? Because it's not doing anything wrong. It's allowing you to embed from another site. And someone said, well, asked me in passing, what if we had a site that allowed you to embed from Al Jazeera? Well, that's different. We'd probably allow it if we could be sure that it was legal to do so. And that would be a moment where I would actually reach out. I do have contact occasionally with Automatics lawyers about some random things, and I would ping them and say, is this all right for us to have? Because I know that there are embargoes going on here. But with the porn embed, it's a legal site. You can embed. They allow it. It's not installing porn on your computer unless you install the plugin. If you don't want to embed from those sites, don't use the plugin.
Right, right. And the plugin itself is a porn. It just... Right. Adds the functionality to WordPress to allow you to easily embed videos from porn sites into your site, which is, it's all functionality. And, you know, and once you start getting into that subjective category of, you know, should we allow this because it enables this, you know, that seems like a very slippery slope.
It is a very slippery slope. And there have been instances where we have dabbled our toe down that slope about plugins that we decided not to host. One was an anti-abortion plugin, but the rationale for that was the imagery that they chose to use in the plugin was there specifically to inspire people to be offended. And it was his goal when he wrote the plugin, and I reached out at the time. I said, you know, it looks like you wrote this intentionally to upset people, to make them angry. And when you put this on a site, that it will cause people to be very mad at you, because these are some fairly horrific pictures, and I don't feel comfortable having them in the repository. And he said, no, I want people to be mad at this plugin. And I said, I think you will be attacked if you have this plugin in the repository, and I think that's dangerous for you. Are you sure this is a world you want to step your foot into? And after discussing things, he agreed that it was perhaps not the best idea to have the plugin in the repository. We also don't allow plugins that intentionally create backdoors. While the code may be cool, and I think it's awesome, I can't put it in there because in good faith, I think that too many users would install it without really knowing what they're getting into, and they'd get into trouble. But when it comes to my personal ethics, I really try hard to keep what I think is right and wrong from a Mika personal level separate from what I think is wrong for the community in general. It's a really hard thing to do, and I have a lot more respect for our politicians now who have to juggle that in a much worse way. Because I don't get to just be me. I don't get to just have an opinion and say, well, I don't have a problem with a porn plugin, without having someone read that as, well, Mika doesn't have a problem with porn. I have a problem with the porn industry. I think it's does some fairly deplorable things, but at the same time, I understand the history behind it. And I worked for Playboy for a while doing websites, so I have a different view on the matter, I think, than a lot of people. But that's me, and I have to think, am I allowing this plugin to stay in because I personally can see the big picture and don't have a problem with it, or am I being too liberal? And I do reach out to the other members of the team when this one came up, and I said, does anybody see this as a problem? And we all said, no, it's all right. It's okay. They're just embedding. It's not actually inserting anything. That sounded terrible. Wow.
So moving on from that, I want to talk about something.
Move away from that one.
I want to talk about an event that happened back in early March. So this is earlier last month, and I'm so glad we have you on the show. So maybe perhaps you can give us some more insight into what happened here. But
sure.
There was a plugin by the name of Custom Content Type Manager that had. You know, it was active on more than 10,000 websites. It was established on the plugin directory, and somehow another person ended up getting commit access to the plugin, ended up putting a backdoor and some bad files into the plugin, and some people who saw update notices for the plugin updated the plugin thinking, well, you know, it's something must have happened. The change log said there were a couple of changes, and what the users were doing probably unknowingly, was installing security vulnerabilities into their site. Now, I know the team at one point discovered the plugin, took it down, and re-uploaded a clean version, which was, I believe, the previous version before the person who got a hold of it uploaded the bad files to. But maybe you can give us some more background into what happened there in that event.
What happened was not anything horribly nefarious or evil. It was not a case of someone being hacked. It was not a case of someone sneakily using somebody else's permissions. It literally was the plugin author gave access to another person who put that code in. It literally was nothing more than someone intentionally who had the legitimate access to do this did it. We yanked all their access because at that point we thought, well, no, that's not okay. But if you give your plugin to someone else and they do evil things, that's what happens. Evil is done.
And was it like an outsourced person? What was the relationship in there?
We don't know. We reached out to the person and asked for more details. All that we can say is that the plugin was given over to someone else and the original author did not want to take it back and take responsibility for it. At this point in time, no one except Otto has access to commit to that code.
So, and this was sort of big news to me because we tell users that the WordPress plugin directory is the safest place to download and activate WordPress plugins and get your updates from, and it just kind of blows. I feel for those users who may have updated a plugin thinking, hey, look, some cool updates and some bug fixes, and really what they did is made their site vulnerable. And I can't blame them for making their sites vulnerable because the updates were coming from the plugin directory.
I will actually never tell you that the best place is to get a plugin from the plugin repository. I will certainly agree that it is the easiest place to get a plugin, but it's not the safest.
Really?
It's,
wow. That shocks me.
We don't do reviews on every single iteration of every release of every plugin. Unless we do that, it's not going to be the safest place. It's just impossible. There's no way, because the only reason that the theme repository is as safe as it is, and I will certainly go to the wall and tell you that that is the best place to download your themes from, is because they check everything. But that's a much smaller set of, well, themes to check.
Commit changes. I mean, we're talking about a plugin directory that right now has, what, 40,000 plugins, and you're just reviewing the initial code that's submitted to you, but you and Pip and I don't believe, review every commit change, and there's probably got to be, what, hundreds or thousands of those a day?
6,700 something a day on average.
Oh my God.
A week. I'm sorry. I was thinking, because I do the weekly.
Well, that's still a lot.
Yeah.
It's 100 a day still.
It is. And it goes up and it goes down. I think the lowest I've ever seen was 4,000, and that was Christmas. Again, very slow week. I get an email for every single commit that anyone does to the plugin repository. You talk about the fire hose. I got to tell you, I've got, you know, Hoover Dam opened on me right now.
Wow.
It goes to a dedicated email address in Gmail, though. And I have a whole bunch of filters that I use in order to try to siphon off things that are common occurrences. Issues that we know about, code that we know does evil things, we do searches for. And the more that we find things like this, the more checks we put in that you can't even commit code that does certain things now, because the SVN check will turn around and say, no, that's not okay. But 44,000, and you know, the sad thing is that you're only seeing the ones that are active. When I look at the system, I don't see 44,000. I see 58,215 in this exact moment.
Jeez.
There are 12,000 that are rejected right off the bat. And yes, I can go in and see every single plugin that we've rejected and why we rejected it, which is kind of neat.
Wow, can I have that list? I'd like to do maybe a best of the worst plugin show.
Oh. let me check with Otto on that one. I'm not sure. Some of it is private information because... And this is the reason that the plugin repository team is much more private than the theme one. Some of the things that happen through the plugin repository are not things that would be reasonable to disclose to public.
Right, just because of the...
Because of the
nature that you don't want them to exploit later, someone else.
And the reason for this is actually, I say it this way, and in no way am I ever saying that themes are not hard. I can't theme to save my life, but themes are comparatively simple. They do one thing. They make your site look and act differently, but they are just a theme. A plugin can do anything you can possibly conceive of. If you're writing your code properly, your theme is complex in its design, but the code behind it is generally not going to be quite as unique as you will see in a plugin. That's not a bad thing. You will never see a theme as complex as BuddyPress, for example, nor should you. If somebody's theme is that complicated to be the BuddyPress of themes, I would be a little scared to figure out what they're doing with it. It's got too many options and too many moving parts. But when you look at something like BuddyPress, if BuddyPress has a security hole, I might find out about it a week before it gets patched. And I'm going to be making sure that everyone who has access to BuddyPress knows to fix this. And I'm going to keep up with the fixes and know if it's going to be something we have to do an emergency push for, which we've done on very few occasions. But because I have to be privy to that information, we really do need to limit the number of people who get access to that information. The more people who know about a security hole, the more likely it is to be revealed to the public.
Right.
On top of that, I actually protect a lot of plugin developers from themselves, more than they realize, I'm afraid.
Yeah, how many of those facepalm moments have you caught programmers in terms of just stupid one-liner mistakes, huh?
I don't think anyone... Most reasonable developers don't care if they get caught in a one-liner derp moment. We all do. It's okay. What I mean is more, I see the worst side of people. I have seen the absolute worst side of more plugin developers than I care to think about. Had I thought in the beginning how bad this would be, and it's gotten to the point that we've had people that have, you know, internet stalked me, and we've had to take action against them, thankfully, simply telling Otto, here's their email address, please yell at them, seems to work for most of it.
He's good at that.
He is. People get really upset when you tell them that they've done something wrong in their code. And I totally understand why, because you put so much of yourself and your heart and your design and your passion into creating a thing, and here's this random internet person who seems to be just randomly telling you, yeah, that's wrong, you can't do that. It hurts. And I try to phrase it in nicer ways. But the more times I have to tell you you can't use your own version of jQuery, the more likely you are to get the email that finally says, look, this is wrong. I'm not going to allow it. If you don't fix it, we're not going to accept your plugin. If you don't understand how to fix it, please let me know. I will explain it to you in a different way. But you simply reply, I fixed it, and you didn't. What do you expect me to do? But we get really angry people, especially when we close a plugin for what we call behavioral issues. And that would be when you start mouthing off to people in the forums and using foul language and insulting your users. You may get your plugins removed because you are no longer representing the community in a light that anyone would want to be represented in. And we don't delete your posts when that happens. So for the history, you will forever be known as someone who called your users idiots.
And how often, when you put those people in timeout and they find out that their plugins have been not removed, but hidden from the directory, I mean, how many times do those people end up taking up whatever they're doing wrong to the umpteenth degree? Like, it sets them off even more than they were already aware.
When this happens, you will get an email immediately telling you, you'll get warning emails first saying, look, we've seen your behavior. The forum moderators have brought it up with us that they're spending an inordinate amount of time having to rein you in. You need to calm down or we're going to take your plugins away because you can't play well with others. You are running with scissors. Please stop. This will never come to you out of the blue. This will always come to you with, hey, I'm trying to warn you that you're actions are going to have consequences. When the consequence hits, most of the time, people calm down. They realize we're serious. They realize that we do care about the community and we care about them. We will very generously, most often, give the plugins back at someone's word. If they say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I won't do it again, we will trust them at their word, but they will also get what we call a final notice, which is, we're giving you a second chance. Don't mess up. From that, I can count on one hand the number of people who have gone even more off the deep end.
Hmm. Maybe so usually that's all they need is a reality check.
The reality check. And I'm not WP mom, I'm WP cool aunt, but when your cool aunt turns around and says, listen, kid, you got to act up, it's time to start paying attention.
So just as a personal question and something I've struggled with, just from a comment moderation standpoint, but you just the angry developers and you seeing some of the worst in people, how do you cope with it? How do you maintain a fresh mindset or positivity in your life and not let that take over you where your first reaction to them is to be very defensive instead of maybe trying to work through it?
I've been messing around with online communities since forever.
You're hardened to this.
No, it's not that. It's that I've learned coping mechanisms, and I've learned the number one rule is, if you're angry, don't reply. Because many times I will read people's emails, and I will take them personally. And I will read them, and I will feel my face get hot, and my hands will shake, and I am mad. And when I feel that, I close the window, I ping someone else on the team, and I said, hey, I can't deal with this person rationally. Can you please take a look? And if not, that's fine. I'll look in a day or two. But I can't deal with this person right now without saying something that I'm going to regret. And I walk away. And I play ping pong or video games at the office, because we have those. I go for a run, I ride my bike, I go do archery, I hang out with my wife, I cook, I just step away. And it takes a lot of willpower to do that, and it took me a decade to get good at it.
Mm.
So when people have these problems in the comments forums, in the forums and in emails where people are just going insane and there's not much you can do about it, there's a reason that people have to have at least one approved comment to show up in my blog, and it's because these people will follow me home and make my life miserable. I block people judiciously on my personal accounts. If someone starts harassing me about having closed their plugin on Twitter, they get blocked because I've sent them an email and asking me if I can go right now and look at their plugin and reapprove it is not actually going to give me the one thing I need in order to do that, and that's more time. So unless you've invented the TARDIS, which would be really awesome, I don't really want to have to listen to a 5-year-old behind me in a car asking if we're at Disneyland yet. And I'm not going to, and it made my life much better when I realized I don't have to listen to them being upset. I have to listen to them being productive to fix the plugin. If they choose not to be productive, then the conversation is over, and I'm not going to reply. There are many people whose emails, even to the plugins team, get skimmed and deleted by, well, not deleted. We don't delete anything. We just siphon it off into archive. It gets closed because, quite simply, we've determined this person cannot behave. They're not even asking us a question anymore. They're just yelling. We're not going to reply. There's nothing we can say to make their day better, so we're not going to try.
You know, that brings up something that I always talk about on this show, and that is I'd love to see the repository become more of a social aspect. They did expand it a little bit in terms of being able to share favorites and things like that, which is something I really appreciate. But now that I hear you bring that up, I kind of don't want social anymore because now I can see what's going to happen.
If you really want to have fun, you should ask Jan Dembowski to be on the show and ask him about moderating all of the reviews, because that man actually reads every single review for every plugin that hits. I don't know how he does it. It boggles my mind that he can do that without going insane. But he does. And some of the things that he reads are fairly impressively horrific.
And I will say his Twitter account is highly entertaining, especially if he hasn't had the right amount of coffee yet in the morning.
Yeah, part of that also you have to remember that you're hearing him do subtweets about his actual job that pays him, forums. he and I have a shared We Worked for Banks drama, so we understand the insanity. That may actually be why Otto and I are so relaxed about a lot of this drama, is that he and I both worked for very large companies for a while. And there's a certain amount of, I call them drama llamas, that just come with a large business that cannot be replicated anywhere else, not even in WordPress. And seeing someone in a suit and tie lose their ever-loving mind over a code review, after you've seen that in an office where someone literally flipped a computer off a table, everything else is kind of, okay, you're having a bad day too, huh? This was an old computer too. This was like when they were white, yellow-white, and they had the ejectable CD tray. Not a tray that just came out and you put the CD in and slid it back in. No, it ejected. You opened up the little case, put the CD in the case, and inserted the case back into the computer. This was pre-Y2K, and I watched a man flip his computer off of his desk after a code review.
So he didn't flip his lid, he flipped his computer.
He flipped the computer. It broke, and we just all sat there. He was fired that afternoon. But we just sat there. We could not believe that actually happened. And after that, it's sort of, you're going to lose your mind. Well, all right. You're not touching my computer, but okay. Have a nice day.
So we've spent a majority of the show talking about your plugin reviews, the plugin directory, and I want to step into more of you as the end user. Because you use plugins, you're an end user just like all the rest of us, and you've written some great posts about usability and plugins and things like that. And today you published a great post on the despair of licensed updates. And just sort of give our listeners sort of a short description of the post and what you were trying to get across when it comes to maybe keeping users informed and notified and getting them to renew their license keys for commercial plugins.
Sure. So the situation that happened, and I didn't feel the need to name the plugin because this happened to a handful of them. But there was a plugin that did not work with WordPress 4.5. The older versions of the plugin didn't work. The newest version of the plugin, which had been released about a month ago, did work. However, this specific plugin is very commonly bundled in themes. And it's a premium plugin. You can only get it if you paid for it, but they do permit a developer to buy a developer license and include it in another plugin or a theme. And the issue that happened was that people who had this plugin did not know they needed to upgrade it in order to be compatible with WordPress 4.5. And since they did not upgrade the plugin, their sites did not work. They got white screens of death. They got content not displaying. They couldn't even log in. And I sat and thought about it for a good part of the weekend, sitting around cleaning the house, thinking random thoughts about how could we make this better for people? Because as a user, as a developer, my first thought is always, am I solving the right problem for the right people? And will my solution cause more problems? I write code from the mindset of a user, not from a developer. I don't write it to fix the thing. I write it to solve the problem. I don't know if you've ever heard of the five whys, where you ask why multiple times in order to find what the root cause of a problem is. Using that logic is what I do when I write my code, is I think, well, this is the problem I want to solve. Why am I trying to solve it like this? Okay, why is this the problem? And I just step back until I try to find my root cause. So I started doing that with this particular situation. I thought, well, okay, why did these people not upgrade their plugins? They didn't know. Why didn't they know? They didn't know because they didn't get a license alert or they didn't get notified that there was an update. Why didn't they get notified? And I started walking back and I realized the primary issue here was that the person who purchased the license was not the person on whose site it was being used anymore. Someone, a developer perhaps, bought a license for the product, installed it, and handed it over as part of a turnkey service. There's nothing wrong with that, but clearly there was a disconnect there. The second part of the problem was that it was often bundled in themes and plugins. Whose responsibility does it become to update the sub-plugin? Whose license takes priority? Who now owns what license to update what? And then on top of that, we had the problem of not being notified that there was an update because you hadn't paid for the license anymore, which is what a few very popular plugins actually do. If you don't have a current license, you don't even know that there's an update. And starting to think about that, I realized we're approaching licenses in a way that benefits the company of the developer before the users. And this is perhaps not a wise choice. And someone else brought up the point that, well, what do you do when there's a car recall? If you've sold your car, I know that I just bought a Ford Escape. Therefore, if I see a recall for Ford Escapes, I might want to check if this car needs an update. The problem with the plugin is that I may not know that this specific Ford Escape actually had the engine swapped out and I'm using a Chevy engine now. I didn't know that. How could I know that unless the original owner told me? Well, there was a recall on that engine, but I don't know that I have it. So I have to make sure that the information comes across properly. And that's where we're failing, not just in WordPress. This is a software issue as a whole. Many software companies have this problem. Back when we all used to use Flash, there were a lot of times where we would download Flash games and they would bundle everything together. And when one of those had a security issue on your computer, I remember viruses running rampant through a company because someone downloaded a game, I want to say it was called Elf Shuffleboard. You know, people come up with the weirdest games, and you use little, you're Santa, and you use elves to play shuffleboard. And it had a hidden virus in it, or a hidden vulnerability in it, excuse me, and someone found out how to check if you had it on your computer when you went to the website, hacked into the website, and all of a sudden, if you went there to get the latest version of the game, you got hacked. And it was just insane to watch these things happen because there was a software vulnerability on a tiny Flash game. We're introducing this with WordPress. It's not new. It's just a different face on the same problem.
So one of the things you bring up, one of your solutions is, well, maybe whether your license has expired or not, maybe you get a message that says, you know, instead of saying your license has expired, please renew it or click here to order an upgrade, you get a message that's more detailed that says, you know, you purchased this plugin back at so-and-so. Normally we wouldn't bother you, but we've pushed out a major security fix, and since we want to make sure that our customers are secure, you know, here's a discount code to take 50% off. You know, something to that effect, and maybe that could convince people to A, it would tell them that there's an upgrade, B, it would tell them it's important, and C, it would incentivize them with the 50% off coupon.
My thought process behind that was, first of all, you should always be informed that there's an update, whether or not you've paid for the latest version of the plugin. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree with that.
You should know. Now, should you have to pay for the upgrades? If it's a minor security fix, I would argue no. But at the same time, if you bought the plugin in 2014 and you haven't updated it since then, and here it is 2 years later and I've done 6 major releases, I would think that it's fair to ask you to pay for the newest version, especially because this will drive home the point to you that you do need to continue to pay for license updates. But at the same time, it will be compensation for the fact that there was a lot of work that went into this. I have less of a problem with that when we're talking years. But I think that you should be notifying the users no matter what that there's an update. And since we've got their information already with the emails, with the sites that this code is running on, because yes, they are tracking where the license is installed. That is how a license works. That's okay. They know the sites. They could reach out. Now, that puts an extra added effort that's going to be, well, all right, let me get a list of all the domains that have it. How do I contact all these people? That's way beyond what I think is reasonable for anyone to do. But if your security issue was that bad and you did that, you would be the most amazing person ever to a lot of people. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going the extra mile and being the amazing extra people.
And what you're talking about is an email, but I think when it comes to notifying users, this is a perfect segue into something I brought up last week, and this is the subject of admin notices.
Oh yeah.
And admin notices are usually those things you see when you update a plugin. You'll see a notice on your dashboard that says maybe a link to the changelog or features that you should be aware of, or, you know, maybe sometimes advertising, which was the whole point of the article, in that for whatever reason, so many plugin developers out there are using admin notices in what I consider in an improper fashion, and they're using them as billboards. And I actually came across one that would not allow you to dismiss it unless you paid money. It was like holding my WordPress dashboard back in real estate, screen real estate, ransom, or holding it hostage. That particular plugin developer was contacted. That issue's been fixed. That developer totally didn't mean to do that and didn't realize they were breaking a guideline on the WordPress plugin directory, which says you cannot do that. The admin notices have to be dismissible. But maybe your thoughts on making admin notices more useful and trying to get plugin authors to stop abusing them and using them as billboards. I don't know how we get them to stop doing that.
There are two problems with the admin notices primarily. And the one is that they're not always dismissible, and they should be. And the other is, how else do you get information across? Now, you have to understand that an admin notice is only going to show up, it should only show up
in specific, it should.
Well, in specific situations. So, for example, you can't use an admin notice to say, hey, there's a new version of the plugin, because you'd have to already have that written into your code today, because the issue that you would be trying to solve is that people aren't upgrading. Well, if they don't upgrade, they're not going to get the new admin notice. So that would involve a lot of phoning back to your server and dynamically popping up in specific situations. It certainly could be coded. I would find it a little bit tricky just thinking through the logistics of it. But from a normal admin notice situation, I really hate when I install plugins, and I install more than most people, I hate when I install it and immediately I've got 6 little things that say, hey, did you know I also make these other plugins? I totally get why people do that. I'm a massive proponent of the plugin ecosystem as an economy for WordPress. I think that software as a service is a brilliant idea, and I want to see people take their code and become professional WordPress developers. I think that's the best thing out there since sliced bread. But how do you do that in a non-annoying way? And I don't have a good answer for that. I want to say just use the admin notices to tell people about this plugin. And if you want to upsell your own plugins dash page where you go in and you make all the settings changes, if you want to have billboards all over that and make it look like GeoCities from 1995, hey, knock yourself out. People will give you one-star reviews, but knock yourself out.
You know, and it's funny you say that because I've brought up the issue on the tavern before. It was a post, and we had some great feedback. And I asked people, you know, what is your limit to upselling and plugins and themes? And even on this issue of admin notices, and the more people I talk to, the more, you know, it's almost not only are they fine with it, but it's almost expected with the free plugin that they would see advertising or upselling on the plugin settings pages. But if the upselling and billboards and advertising goes outside of that to other areas of the WordPress backend, that's just a big no-no, and users don't want to tolerate that.
Yeah, it's because we give WordPress away for free, I suspect, that causes this problem. But at the same time, I know that when I download software and it's Nagware or it's donationware and it tells me every 14 days, hey, you should really pay for this, that is more annoying to me than having to shell out $30 or $40 in the outset to download something that is shareware. And I know that's a very strange way to put it, but I don't have a problem with paying for code that I need. I've never had a problem with it. I bought the entire StudioPress suite. It's an exceptional amount of money. I was putting away my ad revenue for months because I was not working in WordPress at the time, just so that I could afford that on its discount. I did not have a lot of disposable cash, but I knew that that was something worth paying for. But they don't really upsell you in an annoying way. You go to their site and you buy a theme. You buy the core theme, for example, and you say, oh, I like this. I want to buy another one. They're working by being good. And perhaps that is a better way to sell your own work than to every other page click, hey, did you know I also do these other things? Plugins are harder, though, because a theme, you buy the core theme, you buy a child theme, you buy another theme from a company that you know and you use and you trust, and they make good-looking themes. You start talking about plugins, well, okay, I need a plugin to wrangle my beekeeping. There's a beekeeping plugin out there. Great, I'm going to download that. Oh, he's got some pay-for add-ons. Well, I don't really need them, so I'm not going to use them. But if every time I log in to my site I get bombarded with these bee ads, I'm going to be more annoyed and less likely to continue using, and I'll start looking for an alternative.
I'm going to be buzzed off.
I'm going to be buzzed off. Yes, exactly.
Yes, cha-ching.
But it's really hard. I think Pippin does it fantastically well with easy digital downloads. I have not seen anything quite to that level of success. Not only is it a highly downloaded plugin, but the full plugin itself works out of the box. You don't have to have an add-on. You can hear my garage door in the background. You don't.
Oh, I thought those were the bees.
No, my wife's going out to grab some food because we can't use our stove right now. So any Jew who's listening to this, yes, it's two nights before Passover and our stovetop is crying because I've cleaned it. When we start looking at plugins and you've got Pippin who says, okay, here's the free one. Out of the box, everything works. Oh, you want to do these add-ons? They're only a small amount of money. We sell them in bundles that we think you'll want together. We sell them at a discount. If you do these things, you can get more money. He does a lot of hustle to make that work. That is a lot of work on his product. And I think that the ads are sort of the lazy way of passively trying to earn an income from your plugins without really considering the community at large, which goes all the way back to licenses and how we're handling them more from how can I make more money and less from how do I solve problems that people are having. Pippin is solving problems. He's making money, and he's making good money, but he's making it because he's solving problems, not because he's upselling you the hard way.
And on this issue, I don't want to say they're one of the biggest offenders, but I will say that they generate the most heat and maybe haterade, and that's the WordPress Yoast, WordPress SEO by Yoast. And that plugin, it definitely has admin notices and it has some advertising in it. And every time we write about it or it comes up on the tavern, the haterade starts pouring out of people. And
yeah,
for whatever reason, there's this contingent of users out there who know about the guidelines and the advertising, phoning home, and all that other stuff, but they seem to think that Yoast Evoque has some kind of special deal with the, or some conspiracy going on with the WordPress plugin directory, where he's allowed to do all these things in this plugin and nobody else is not. And I've said, no, that's not the case. If he was legitimately doing something wrong, or if his plugin was legitimately doing something wrong or not following a specific guideline, you or Pippin would address that with him, and he'd probably immediately fix it, because he knows that he'd be losing a good chunk of money if something like that or his plugin was taken off the directory. So, I mean, could you just tell these people, like I have already said, that there is no special ink deal, there's no money exchanging hands here between Yoast Evoque and you and Pippin, who are, you know, the gatekeepers of the plugin directory?
Well, he did send me a bunch of socks for my birthday.
With his character on it.
No, there is, even, he sent me a bunch of socks for my birthday, and George Stefanis sent me a crate of Thin Mints. I can't believe it. We finally actually, I gave away half of them. 12 boxes of Thin Mints. I couldn't believe that. And Andrea Rennick sends me Smarties every once in a while, as do other developers from Canada who know that I just absolutely adore Canadian Smarties. I have one box left. It's waiting for me at work.
Canadian? Tomorrow. What's the difference?
That will take me an hour of waxing rhapsodic to tell you that Canadian Smarties are the greatest little mini chocolate bites in the world. And you look at them, and most Americans will say, oh, so they're like Canadian M&Ms. And every single person who's ever had them and likes them will turn to you and say, no, they're not.
I was thinking about Smarties, that thing
yeah,
that comes
no,
in kind
that.
Of the little cellophane. With the
No. They're my favorite candy on the planet, and thankfully I don't live in Canada, because if I did, I would be buying them every other day. But no, Yoast does not have a special deal with us. In fact, and he can tell you this himself, and Otto can tell you this, we've argued with him about a great many things, about proposals that he has to make things a specific way and to use WordPress to sell, and we've had screaming matches. The thing about Yoast is that at the end of the day, when we're done arguing, he and I can look at each other and say, yeah, okay, we disagree about things. I understand that these are the rules. I will abide by them. Okay, good. We shake hands and we have a drink. Yeah, that's my favorite kind of argument, where two people, even if they aren't going to agree at the end, will stop and say, I still respect you as a person. And perhaps it's because Yoast has that level of respect back to us. It certainly sometimes can feel disrespectful when you're in the middle of the argument, but I know that he's not trying to break rules for the sake of breaking rules. What he does with his plugin, I find, is on the edge of annoying. When I install his plugin and it says, hey, you've upgraded, do this. Hey, you've upgraded, do that. I find it annoying, but only because I know what I'm doing. My father saw these updates. I use Yoast's SEO plugin on my father's site. My dad watched me do an upgrade, and he started reading all of the notices, and he said, this is amazing. I didn't know these things. How can I use this to make my site better? When I stop and look at it from a user's perspective, those notifications he's putting up are useful. They're really helpful to people who don't understand SEO, who haven't been playing on the internet since 19...
and most of the people pouring the hatering on are developers.
It's like Jetpack. It's easy to hate Jetpack.
Yeah, oh boy.
I love Jetpack. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it annoys me sometimes, but I'm a developer.
I even find it fascinating that there are plugins in the repository that actually block the Yoast messages. That's...
Yeah, that one. I saw that the other day, and I just laughed.
Yeah, see, I think it was called, like, Block Yoast or something like that. I think the better name would have been Yoast Busters.
We will not allow you to have that name because Yoast is a trademark. We've gotten a little bit more tetchy about trademarks after some recent conversations. But and it annoys me because I spend a lot of time. It takes me longer to review plugins now because I have to go through and check the names. And wait, do you represent this company? No, you shouldn't start your plugin with that term. From a branding perspective, it makes perfect sense, though. I mean,
and how do you check the ones that are in Chinese?
You can check trademarks. Also, they have to submit them in English letters.
I see. Sometimes there are descriptions that are completely foreign.
Oh, Google Translate is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I read French, passably well at this point. My wife reads German rather well. I can make my way through Spanish. I'm fairly decent with the Romance languages, reading them. I took Latin in school, so I have kind of this weird grounding where I understand them, even if I'm not really sure what's going on. But if I'm confused or I think it's suspect, I will check who owns the domain and does it match the person who's submitting things. And I do that extra legwork to try to make sure you represent a company. It really only happens to be a problem when perhaps someone from Facebook submitted a plugin using a Gmail email address and a Dropbox link. I thought that he wasn't Facebook, so I rejected it.
Darn, Jeff, we can't do Yoast Busters.
No.
So one of the last things I wanted to talk about is this idea of a WordPress notification center. And
I like it.
And this was sort of an offshoot of an idea of, well, hey, we have too many admin notices and they're everywhere. Maybe we could just find a way to combine all the notices and put them in this easy-to-use, quick, easy, convenient toolbar or something that so that they're dismissible, but they're on one location and they don't mess around through screen real estate. And so I actually did some research, and I found out that themes do it too with their upselling and notices. And I also found a plugin by Barry, I want to say Kuji or Kui. It's going to be one of those.
We'll
I'll just call
Barry.
Him Barry.
Pass.
Let's go with Barry. And he actually created a plugin, I think it was last September, and it's called WP Notification Center, and it sort of adds this toolbar or notifications area to the admin bar area, and it'll give you a little blue number. You click on that or highlight over it, and it'll tell you, it'll put the admin notice right there. So it doesn't take up any screen real estate. They're color-coded, so it's easy to determine, you know, if it's an error message or if it's just an update notice or if it's something else dealing with your website. And he's currently working on the complex problem of trying to make them dismissible because he says that admin notices are added in code, so he can't stop them from being added. He says he would have to store what notices are dismissed and check all the added notices on every page load to filter out the ones that are dismissed and work with the database. So there's technical issues there.
Yeah.
But then there's also this WordPress Notifications API project that's more dealing with email notifications than WordPress, but it's possible it could bridge the two together, admin notices and API, or admin notices and email notifications, and maybe we could have one unified notifications API. But just this whole idea of a notification center in WordPress, and I think there's some things we got to consider. You got to consider the UI, and we got to consider the problem as to what are we trying to solve here, and is it because we have too many of them, or are they spread out on different pages? And if you think about it, you know, we have admin notices, we've got core update notices, we've got plugin update notices, we've got theme update notices, and they're all spread out and they all take you to these different pages. So I'm thinking that maybe at some point in the future, WordPress could just have a unified notification center where anything that you need to be notified about that deals with your website shows up there, and it could be either in the toolbar, but I think it would be an awesome dashboard widget. And that would make the most sense to me, so you can see at a glance when you log into your site, things that, you know, need your attention are right there. But maybe your thoughts on a possible notification center and what you would like to see in one if it was added to core.
I have to say that I love Barry's plugin. I remember when it was submitted, and I remember reviewing it thinking, oh, yes, this should be a core project, something that we can do to make these much better. I've always quite liked this idea. Do you guys have iPhones or Android?
I have an iPhone.
Marcus?
iPhone.
Okay. So you know on your iPhone that you have the way to control your notifications? Do you see them on the screen or not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm the kind of nerd. I actually have an iWatch, or Apple Watch. Excuse me. Don't come after me, Apple people. I have an Apple Watch, and I have it set to give me notifications of various things as well. So when I get a Slack DM, it shows up on my watch with a little dot that says, hey, you have notifications. And the way that it does this is literally I have a tiny red dot that shows up at the top of my watch above the clock that tells me you have unread notices. I think that we could take a page from Apple in this situation and have a little thing that says, perhaps on your dashboard, but maybe on the toolbar even, that says, you have X unread notifications.
Yeah, even... even something like Infusionsoft does this with a little megaphone icon that has a little orange dot kind of a pattern that's going on in animation format coming out of the little bullhorn. Same thing for notifications.
Exactly. And if we had just this little thing that when you went in, and a dashboard widget would also be brilliant to say, you have X unread notifications, here are the last four, like we do with comments.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would know right away when you log in. Now, not everybody logs in and goes to the dashboard. I can honestly tell you that I don't. I don't ever log into my site and go to the dashboard unless I'm going to look at my Jetpack stats and I'm being really lazy and don't want to click through. I usually...
And for Tavern articles, of course.
Yeah, right.
You know, I actually... this is not anything about the Tavern, but I removed the WordPress World News from my... It's the first thing I get rid of. I feel terrible saying that, but then again, I follow you guys on RSS, so I'm not missing anything. I love RSS. It's my favorite thing to...
Absolutely.
I passively collect all these things, and then I can read them at my leisure. But having a little notification center there, you know, I'd want it to be by default on the upper right. I'm visualizing it. You can't see me. I'm at my desk and I'm moving my hand to think, it would look very nice right there. Yes. I think that would be beneficial to people. Of course, the fact that those notifications are still going to send you to a million different pages, well, that really can't be helped because all these notifications are for different things. We should have a unified upgrade. We do. You don't have to go to the plugins page for upgrading plugins. You go to, if you're on a single site of WordPress, you go to, you know, the very first top option, dashboard, boom, updates. Great.
Right.
All the updates are going to take you there. That's not a big deal. But then when we say we want to put Yoast updates in there to say, hey, I've added this new feature you may be interested in. Click here to learn more about it. Click here to dismiss me forever and never learn about these awesome new things. Obviously, that link is going to take you to a different place. It has to. But that's right. Okay. So long as you're only going to one place to get all the notifications, you won't feel quite as pained, I think. Now,
pain or disjointed. And that's really all I was advocating for is a unified place, one place to roll all notifications.
I think that having a notification dashboard, and I'm actually looking at the back end of one of my WordPress sites right now thinking it would be really nice if I had it right there.
Yeah. And you brought up RSS, and it's the same thing. It's like, okay, yes, I want to subscribe to the Yoast updates.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the whatever it happens to be, the news feed or whatever, just like you would RSS. Same type of thing. So I'm with you on everybody on this. I think it's long overdue, and it's as WordPress gets more and more complex, something like this is just inevitable in terms of happening.
And imagine if we have a notifications API, the things that WooCommerce and Easy Digital Downloads could do for this. You go to your little notification center and says, hey, today you've had a banner day and sold X number of new items. This is great. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a notification I want to see.
Yes. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, dashboard, home, updates. Okay, it would fit perfectly between home and updates. Home, notification, updates. Why is my updates showing? Oh, look at that. I have an update. Of course, I've set up automatic updates for my site. So the minute I go to the thing to say, do I have any updates? It says, oh, I'm updating you right now.
So I wonder, you know, thinking about this in the future, thinking about the UI aspect, I wonder if there would be a new menu item in the settings panel called notifications. So you go there, and I think that's where you'll be able to toggle on or off for core specific notifications, and I wonder if maybe that's where plugins could add their own switches like they do in the iOS app on iPhone, because they're all one page where you just toggle on and off, or if maybe plugins and their UI for their settings pages would have the toggle there instead. But I think having all the toggles in one place on the settings page would be a lot more convenient for users, because they could just go right there and control whether they want the notifications on or off for plugins or core features.
Why don't you just have it on the notifications page itself? It lists all the apps that you could have notifications from with a little slider to say on or off.
Right.
None. Exactly. Don't have to go to another page. Because that's the thing that upsets me the most about Apple is that, so I ran for the first time ever, and I'm really excited that Mike gave me this opportunity. I did all the upgrades for WordPress 4.5 at Dreamhost. I monitored every single one of those to make sure they all went through, and it was the most terrifying 72 hours of my life.
You had to do them one by one, right?
Yeah, no. we have a wonderful batch script that we have that runs all these things. But someone human does have to make sure that they're all running properly, they don't crash, and various other things don't happen. Monitoring that, we have a script that emails me if certain situations happen so that I can go to sleep. And what I wanted was for the email to come to my phone, and then it would ping my watch, and my watch would say, hey, you need to go check this out. Something's going on. That way I wouldn't worry while I'm biking home or whatever. I had to go to like 17 different places to figure out exactly where those settings were for Gmail. And then, as it turns out, you can't actually tell Gmail, I only want to get alerts if one email folder is getting emails. You can do it on Android. You can't do it on iOS. I've been having a banner week of being mad at Apple things.
So at least we know Notification Center is a cool idea. I think we're going to see some work on that, and you're not the only one who thinks Barry's plugin would be a great foundation. Maybe it might evolve into a feature project.
I think that it would be brilliant for that, and I really hope that someone picks that up and runs with it.
So the very last thing before we let you go, because we're already I told you there's a lot to talk about, is you're a support maven. You do a lot of tech support in the WordPress support forums. And WordPress 4.5 was released last week, so are there any banner issues that you can tell our users about or keep aware of? Because I know that it looks like there's going to be a point release, at least the RC version tomorrow, to fix at least two pretty big bugs.
I have to preface this by I've stepped back quite a bit on the amount of work that I do in the support forums. I realized that I was stretching myself a little bit too thin. And since I've managed to train up some very amazing people to manage the aspects of the support team, I decided the best thing I could do was to step back and let it be in their hands. Mm-hmm. And I am never more happy to tell you that they have all risen to the challenge. And the team itself is now a real team. And 5 years ago it wasn't. Today it is. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to step back and see that as a success.
And how many of those team members just... I'm just curious because you've participated and sort of mentored a lot of people on the support side of things at various work camps on the contributor days.
Yeah.
Have any of those mentors stuck around, like when everybody goes home and they end up logging into the Slack channel and they stay on as regular contributors to the support forums?
Yes. In fact, some of them have now gotten jobs at Automattic because of the work that they did through that, and they still stay.
Now, how awesome is that?
I know. I look at those.
That's got to make you feel, that's got to give you all the feels.
It does. It gives me the warm fuzzies. It's great. But to answer the question quite specifically, I jokingly called this the release that jQuery killed. And this is not to point a finger at jQuery. I understand how big their project is and how easy this specific thing was that it slipped through, but a change that was made in January that none of us noticed was a big issue because of the way it was presented, had a very dramatic fallout. It's actually the brunt of most of our headaches in the support forums right now. And it sucks because these are the things that, well, why didn't we catch them in beta? As it happens, we were all using code that did things properly. it was really just, it's one of those massive coincidences that you couldn't have known that every single person who beta and alpha tested WordPress happened to be using code that was actually doing JavaScript properly all the way through. And perhaps in a karmatic slap to me, I am a massive arguer that you should never include your own copy of jQuery. But had plugins done this, they wouldn't have had a problem. And it hurts so much to say those words. You still can't do it. I'm not going to approve your plugin if you do it. But I think that this release, given everything that it was and everything that it did, just had two issues that we really couldn't have foreseen happening. One of them we totally should have, and it's completely our fault that we didn't notice about Singular being a problem. I mean, it broke a core theme, and that's a Picard double face palm moment. We should have known. But we couldn't have known for jQuery. And those are the two big problems that came out of this release. So be kind to your developers, and thank them. If your site didn't break, thank them. No, you know, I love Thank a Plugin Day. I keep forgetting what day it is until all of a sudden I get all these very odd reviews and I realize, oh, it must be Thank a Plugin Day. I should go find one and thank it. But do thank them for, oh, you had an update that came out before 4.5 that fixed all these problems so that I didn't crash. Thank you for doing that. You will make someone's day by telling them that. And I think that Mike did a fantastic job wrangling everyone involved in doing a release. I do not envy him that job, and I would never want to do it myself. It's far too stressful. But he did a fantastic job, and he got stuck with things that couldn't have been foreseen in any reasonable way, and that really stinks.
Yeah, when we had him on last week, he said one of the first things he did after he pushed out the release was just thanked everybody. Thanked everyone involved, top from all the way top down, if you had any involvement in the project, he thanked you and came on Twitter and thanked you, and everybody was real appreciative of that. That was a cool move by him.
I was trying to get the office to buy him a cake, but he hasn't been in the office lately, so it's not really going to do
Yeah, he seemed a little tired when he was on our show the day doesn't after the can, release.
Doesn't mean you can't order one for him.
I have a present for him that's sitting here at my desk right now. I have a pair of Wapu socks that were given to me to give to him in Miami, and I haven't seen him since then. So I have these socks sitting on my desk.
So that pretty much covers it. All we have for you today. And Marcus, any last questions for Mika before we let her go and continue sweating there in California?
Yeah, I'm right on board with that.
Hey, it dropped down to 73 degrees. This is the joy of the desert. It goes from 90 to 73 in 2 hours.
Not always when you want it to either.
No.
So no, I will just share my overall thoughts as far as having you on as a guest today. I'm very much appreciative of the volume that you have to endure and bear that burden with such a smile. It's unbelievable. I had no idea of the email updates and the volume that you're undergoing or the fact that there are that many more plugins that get rejected for whatever reason that have to get dealt with, and then the tyranny and the wrath of the people that aren't always exactly on the winning side of that. So, you know, forget Thank a Plugin Day. Thank you for all your contributions to the community.
Thank a Mika Day.
Thank you. I do want to say that I have learned so much doing plugin reviews. I have become a better developer. I've become a better understander of users. I give better support because of the things I've learned from reviewing these plugins, and I have met some of the most amazing people through this, and they've taught me things that have nothing to do with plugins. I find plugins all the time that do things in ways that I never would have conceived of solving a problem in this way that I think are brilliant. And while there are some bad eggs, I assume good faith, and I assume that each and every plugin developer that sends me something is trying to do the best that they can. And if I can help them do it a little better and a little safer, then everybody wins.
And on that same vein, you bring up a great point. This sort of harkens back to my admin notices issue, the plugin that got me to write the rant in the first place, and that is the majority of time I give plugin authors the benefit of the doubt. If I notice that they're doing something that is in possible violation of the guidelines, I usually contact them and let them know, hey, you know, this, I don't think this is kosher, or you might want to look into this because somebody might report this, or this is definitely in violation of this particular guideline. You might want to change some things around. And generally, the plugin authors are very responsive, and they're very much appreciative of somebody reaching out and telling them because either, A, they didn't know the guidelines, or, B, they didn't know that certain things would be interpreted that way. And I sort of didn't do that, and I missed some communication on Friday, and it turns out the plugin author was one of those receptive, positive developers who change some things around and fix some things, but as you said, usually just contacting the author beforehand, not just outright reporting them to plugins at WordPress.org, but just maybe contact them first and let them know, give them a heads up, and give them an opportunity to fix things before they just all of a sudden see that their plugin has been removed with no explanation.
It will always come with an explanation. I promise you, there has never been a case where I've closed a plugin and not emailed someone. So if you see your plugin is closed and you don't have an email, double check that you're checking the right email address. Someone found out very recently that his email wasn't forwarding, and he was upset until we pointed out, well, we sent an email to this address. And he said, oh, shoot, that's why. But yeah, assume good faith. There are bad eggs. There are always going to be people who do evil for the purposes of evil. I don't understand why people spam. I'm sure that someone out there is making money somehow from it. I just can't fathom how. But most of the people in the plugin world, in the WordPress world, are good people. And reaching out to them saying, hey, you may not have known, but having a powered by link that's on by default is against the guidelines. You might want to fix that. And if someone says that and you come back and say, well, that's nice, I'm not changing it, then yeah, you're going to get your plugin closed. But if you say, oh, I'm sorry, my bad, then all you might get from me is, hey, thanks for fixing that. And yes, I do send out those emails, and I will reply to comments in the forums when I catch them to tell people, thank you for fixing things.
And as a heads up, too, if you ever have an issue or think there's an issue, whether it be security or you think something's violating the guidelines, you can send an email at plugins@wordpress.org.
Yep.
And as I found out, please send a link to the actual plugin so that the reviewers know exactly where it's at.
Amateur.
So I found that out. So are you going to any WordPress events later on this year? And if so, where are you going? In case people want to meet up with you and say thanks in person. Hopefully not stalk you or meet you and ask you, why wasn't my thing approved?
That actually happens fairly regularly.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
I am serious. This weekend is WordCamp San Diego, but it's also Passover, so I won't be going. However, the next one I know that I'm going to be at, that I'm committed to being at, is WordCamp Europe. I will be there.
Over 2,200 people.
I know. Yeah. My wife is hopefully going to get to come with me. We just have to figure out how much the ticket's going to cost to fly there because it's a bit expensive. But we're very excited about that. She actually contributed to WordPress for her very first time at the last WordCamp Europe. She was very delighted, and she thinks she understands what I do a little bit more now, which I think is great. But other than that, I don't know what WordCamps I'm going to. My schedule is up in the air at the moment because I was getting over a sadly rather nasty illness the last couple of months, and now that it's in check, I'm able to go back to my normal life, but I didn't want to do stuff for a while.
Maybe WordCamp Orange County coming up this year. I think it's in July.
I applied to speak there. I'll let you know if I get to.
Awesome, because the last time I met you was at WordCamp Orange County, where Marcus and I both sat in on your session. And once again, we're just sort of blown away about everything you have to deal with regarding plugins.
That was the one that was about submitting what not to do to submit your WordPress plugin.
Yeah.
I've done three versions of that talk now. I've done the top 10 errors, what not to do, and then just at Atlanta, I talked about what it actually is to review a plugin. It has a whole micro machine moment. You should check it out on WordPress TV.
And I just wish that we could create some sort of anonymous show or anonymous tweets or anonymous something, but it's you, and you get to say what you really think or feel or can point out, no, this is not good.
Nobody wants to hear that. I'm a foul-mouthed person when I get going.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking so much of your time out for being on the show. I think this is your first time as a guest on WordPress Weekly.
I think it is.
It might be. If not, it's definitely your second. I might have had you on, 200 episodes. It's been a long time.
I don't think you did. I know I did the security talk once, but I think that was it. I don't generally do podcasts.
Well, I'm glad you stopped by, and thank you for everything you do for WordPress, its community, and the project. You're a valuable asset, and man, I got a newfound level of respect for you based on everything you have to go through. It's, I thought it was bad with comments, but to deal with the wrath of an angry developer, no way. I don't want to get involved with that. I would never want to get involved with that. But thanks for everything you do. And how can people keep in touch with you? You write some great stuff on your blog.
If you wanted to read about me talking about technology, you would follow me on halfelf.org. If you want to see me tweet about absolutely everything under the sun, from television to sports to WordPress and back again, you would follow me on Twitter as @ipstanew. And from there, you basically find everything else that I'm doing. I cook, I do archery, and I always tweet about whatever I'm blogging about. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll find everything.
Excellent. Well, get back to reviewing plugins. No, it's actually a little too late for that. But
you know what? I don't review plugins after 6 at night anymore. I decided that it was just crazy if I kept doing that. And so at this hour, I'm going to figure out dinner. And that's about it.
Nice. Well, stay cool out there, and I hope you get some rain soon.
Yeah, so do I.
No, to keep those ducks happy, your resident ducks.
Yes, my ducks are, the ducklings are about to be born. I can't wait.
Awesome. So there you have everybody, Half-Elf Ifstenu, or as we know her, Mika Epstein, does a great job on the support forums and reviewing the plugins as a gatekeeper. And Marcus, as if we didn't have enough plugin talk in this episode, we still got to get through your three plugin picks of the week.
And actually, it's four this week. There is a secret bonus coming. The first one, you know, Mika, we talked about maybe a forum where somebody could ask you something anonymously. You've probably seen all of these plugins, but the first one.
I'll pretend that I didn't.
Okay.
Is this plugin you are talking about?
It is called Ask Me Anything Anonymously. It is by Arun Basil Lal. It's his third plugin. He's from India. How do you like the fact that we're naming the people that make these?
I think that's awesome.
All right. It's like a DJ. You know, we got to spin the hits here. We're going to send the artist some love. But anyway, what this actually does is it rides on the back of comments, and it is just basically a page with a short code where users can anonymously just ask you questions, and then you get to reply to them as if you were to reply to a comment. So it's a handy little way to just have a quick AMA anonymously on one page that people can just kind of do a drive-by question. And the cool thing is it has a running archive of all of the answers that you leave. So you can set the short code to say, put the last 10 things that I answered on the page. And it just keeps scrolling down and down. So that's pretty nice. It's called Ask Me Anything Anonymously. The next one is something that we kind of touched upon here today, which is, you know, the clutterness of the admin area. And this is a plugin by Matt Gibbs. He's from Charlottesville, Virginia. It's a 6 plugin. It's called Admin Cleanup. And if you've got a bunch of, you know, custom post type stuff, some plugin areas that are taking space on that left sidebar in your admin area, this actually lets you clean it up very nicely. And much like the notifications that we also talked about, it allows you to choose where you can place all of these specific things. So you can bury them within a settings menu, or actually you have the ability to toggle whether it goes into the admin bar or not. So it's a very nice way to kind of shuffle your little place cards around for your plugins and make sure that they don't become obstructive and in your way. That's called Admin Cleanup. Finally, this one is from Samuel Dietelm. He's from Marbella, Spain. It's his very first plugin. It's called Logic Shortcodes. And what this is sort of a taxonomy-based logistics sense where it fires off specific shortcodes or specific content based on taxonomy. So if the taxonomy is category and the slug is cars, then put out this short code, which could be maybe car advertisements or other featured blog posts that you've done within cars or any of those kinds of things. So it uses conditional logic just like you would in a typical form, but it does it to address displaying short codes. It's called Logic Shortcodes. And finally, for all of those of you out there that celebrate, here's a 420 bonus plugin. It's called Dispensary Coupons. It's by Robert DeVore. It's his third plugin. He's from Michigan. And for those of you running the WP Dispensary Framework, or those not, this one came out just in time for 420. It allows you to add dispensary coupons. So if you've got flour, tinctures, edibles, or any of those things that you want to put on special, this allows you to do it. So happy 420, everybody. And those are my plug-in picks of the week.
And there may or may not be a plug-in review that was published today on the Tavern where we actually got to put a big featured image of Blueberry Kush, which is a big jar of weed on the Tavern. And I must say, I was quite amused by the whole timing of events that took place today. So were a lot of other people. I just thought it was really cool.
I thought it was hilarious. I you cracked me up when I saw that.
Just speaking of events, really quickly, I know WordCamp San Diego, I think that's next weekend. Marcus, will you be there?
I will be there.
All right, so if anybody is listening and you're going to be at WordCamp San Diego, look for the guy that looks like that guy from Breaking Bad, Walter White.
Don't even say that.
What? Well, that's what I thought you were when I first saw you at Work Camp San Francisco. I said, look at this guy, Breaking Bad. Okay. I mean, do you have hair? All right, then. So,
so it's come to this, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop by, say hi to Marcus, let him know if you're a listener to the show, and please this time get the show right. You know, we don't do, you know, we don't do sound effects on this show and all that other stuff. Like, we found out from a listener that, you know, said they were a fan of the show, and then they started naming things that we do that were on a different show. But anywho, I'm not going to go into that. Next weekend is WordCamp Chicago, and I'm going to be there. So I can't wait to be there. I'm so excited to be in Chicago. I haven't visited the city since 2009, and WordCamp Chicago 2009, of course, has a special place in my WordPress heart, my WordPress mind bank, because that is where I saw Gravity Forms for the first time, and I remember it like it was yesterday. The Racket Genius team were there. They were going around showing people this new cool UI for creating forms, because Contact Form 7 was the bee's knees. It was a household name for forms, a form plugin in WordPress. And when I saw what Gravity Forms was capable of, I told them that they have a hit on their hands. 6 years later, I haven't gotten any royalty checks, but they're doing well in the form space in WordPress. So I can't wait to go there, and I'm definitely going to hit up Lou Malnati's for some deep dish pizza. I can't wait.
Yes, Lou Malnati's. Yes,
Lou Malnati's. There we go. And
making me miss Chicago, man.
Yeah. And you know what you also got to do is go to Portillo's. They're everywhere. It's a hot dog place.
Yeah.
And get a combo, which is an Italian sausage wrapped in Italian beef on a bun that's dipped in sauce.
Oh, my God.
I can hear your arteries clogging.
Now, wait a minute. Do they have one of those at Cub Stadium, do you know? Wrigley Field?
No.
I do not know that, but there's
I'm going to take in a Cubs game while I'm there. It's going to be
good.
Awesome.
Good, you can pee in a bathtub.
Oh, jeez, that's good. Yeah, trough.
Yeah, with 50
anyways, other
guys.
We're getting off tangent here. We got to wrap up the show. But you, you said you want to go to WordCamp Tokyo in September. But
I can't understand the website. I tried Google Translate. It still didn't work out for me. I'm trying to figure out how to buy tickets. I don't even know what city it's in. I don't get it. So if anybody's listening from Tokyo, please.
Well,
help
I'm pretty
me.
Sure it's in Tokyo.
Well, that I have. I'll just be some, you know, fat American wandering the streets of Tokyo. WordCamp, where is it?
Gone to WordCamp Tokyo twice, it's actually fairly easy to navigate your way through it. But
is it?
Spend the money to get either a temporary phone while you're there so you can use GPS or get a really good map.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm hoping to do that. It's in mid-September, so we'll see. I'd like to do that maybe next year. Who knows?
I could probably put you in touch with somebody that's helping to organize that event, so let me connect you two together.
Okay, perfect.
I can do that. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all every other episode on wptavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffR0, Marcus.
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, also membershipcoach.com, and follow me on Twitter at marcuscouch.
All right. Until next week, everybody, who our special guest will be none other than Andrea Middleton. And woo! we're gonna dive into some WordCamp stuff. Last time we had her on, it was just a great time. She had some bubbly. We talked WordCamps. What could be better than that? So we're going to have her on next week. 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in for that. Everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend. We'll talk to you next time.